This year marks the anniversary of two crucial moments in our country's long history of inequality. 60 years ago, the Supreme Court handed out its landmark decision in Brown versus the Topeka Board of Education, which effectively ended legal segregation of our nation's public schools. And 50 years ago this year, the Civil Rights Act was signed into law. Today, on the observance of Martin Luther King Day, the Michigan State University kicks off a year-long commemoration of these events with its Project 6050. And here to tell us more about Project 6050 is John Beck. John's an associate professor in the School of Human Resource and Labor Relations at MSU. Welcome back to Current State.
Thanks, Mark. Nice to be here.
Tell us about the genesis of Project 6050.
Well, a number of us have been talking now for well over a year. The idea came up that major anniversaries are a time to be able to look back and also to look forward. And it's interesting that you have so many anniversaries that are all focusing on this year, 2014. And the fact that it took 10 years between the Brown decision that really overturned the whole notion that separate but equal was okay in American schools and generally in American society. And then finally, 10 years later, the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act really tried to codify that notion in a variety of different ways that were significant. So various folks have been talking. We have a core planning team that's been trying to put together an umbrella for campus and for the community to be able to park a variety of different events, a variety of different conversations, different ways to really explore, to celebrate, to commemorate, and to build on this key set of civil rights, human rights advances with Brown on the one side and the 64 Act on the other.
Mm-hmm. How did Americans react to Brown versus Board of Education, the decision?
Well, I'm looking back, the thing I find so interesting about it is that, at least what I learned in school long ago, was that the Brown versus School Board was important because the fact that different kinds of evidence were allowed into the Supreme Court case that normally were not allowed. That is that Plessy versus Ferguson from the 1890s forward had really set up this whole notion that as long as you had equal facilities, you could have separate facilities, and therefore that was legally okay. I think that the Supreme Court had to listen to different kinds of sociological evidence, different kinds of evidence of what the real effect of separate but equal that went beyond simple kind of legal doctrines that looked in their mind, from the 1890s forward, as fairly sound. And so they had to be overturned based on what was the reality on the ground, not necessarily what did the framers of the act the Constitution really mean by their interpretation of what constituted proper law.
Less theoretical and more on the ground reality.
Right. I think and they had to really look at what's the effect of this piece of law. What's the effect for people across the nation? But let me fast forward, I think, to 1964, because one thing about 6050 that everyone, I think, really has to hear loud and clear is that if you only focus on Brown, it could be regarded to be simply a conversation about race on campus and the community for this entire year. But the 64 Act looked at other human rights, other civil rights. So it was really about equality based on gender. It was equality based on age, equality based on religion, national origin. So I think that one reason that we really wanted to move forward with 6050 was to be able to say, how far have we come, but how far do we still need to go? Mm. Naturally, on issues of, let's take gender for instance, you know, Equal Pay Act is kind of stalled in legislative action for years. There are still a huge gap between what men make and what women make within the workplace. Based on national origin, naturally, issues of immigration, issues of ongoing prejudice based on where one might be from continue to be at issue. Then there's all the kind of rights yet not codified, naturally the kind of equality of marriage kinds of acts and other things, so that we really want to use this year as a conversation about civil rights and human rights writ large. So much of the conversation, I think, in the community on campus will not only be on the history of these two events, but will be on linked issues. Right now we have an exhibit at the MSU Museum on South Africa. There will be, I'm sure, a number of discussions across campus on issues of human trafficking, on issues of labor rights in the U.S. and in other nations. So that I really believe that this is a great opportunity for people to try to come to grips with both a historical perspective and, you know, really standing on the shoulder of giants like Martin Luther King Jr. In terms of today, but the notion that you have to carry the work on, and the fact that we have an entire year, we're very excited because we're using these two weekends, this weekend and the Martin Luther King weekend in 2015, as bookends for the entire year of events, classes, films, concerts. Everything else is going to go under that rubric. So that means that there's a lot of ample opportunity for discussion, for commemoration, for celebration and exploration.
We're talking with MSU Professor John Beck about Project 6050. How have our conversations around civil rights changed in the last half century?
I think that one thing maybe that's happened dramatically is a shift between thinking about things collectively to thinking about things individually. So that during the civil rights movement, during the labor movement, other movements, it really was about trying to have large groups of people rise together. I think that we've probably seen a good amount of rights discussion come down to the rights of this individual rather than an overall group of people. And I think that that's one thing that I think I would characterize in terms of how rights discussions have changed. The other thing is I think that we have tried to understand, I think a lot of people on campus and across the community, that there are other kinds of rights. So the issue becomes one of does someone have the right to starve? Does someone have the right to be homeless? Does someone have the right to suffer economic inequalities of other sorts? So that there's this whole issue of what constitutes kind of right action and what are the kinds of things that we really need to do beyond simple kind of talks of equality to see what kind of effect it has, again, a la Brown versus School Board, on the ground. Today, what does it mean to be equal in America? What does it mean to be free in America? What does it mean to advance human and civil rights in America when there's still kind of a large to-do list that we have to take on?
I'm curious how you see your students engaging in discussions about human rights and race differently than, say, even 10 years ago. Do you notice changes like that?
I think the thing that amazes me about today's students is how connected they are. That is, we had to go to meetings to talk about things back in the 70s at MSU. Today, people simply have to, you know,
get online
or be on a Facebook page or be part of the conversation truly on their cell phones.
I'm wondering if something has gotten lost there, though. Could you argue that? I mean, are there people who argue that?
I'm not a communication expert.
It's a sociological kind of question,
well,
I guess, really.
I think it is. And I think that what is true of today's students is I think there's a great generosity. I think that there is a rising belief in social action. I believe that the newest students are very, very plugged into really making a difference. And I'm amazed, I don't know about you, Mark, but I'm amazed when I hear about a lot of the young entrepreneurs who have put together a phone app in support of stopping, you know, some social wrong.
That is so noticeable. I think, to tell you the truth, just in the last 5 years or less, I think there's been a dramatic change in approach there.
And in that way, I think that they feel perhaps more powerful as individuals than, you know, we were the generation of marchers, and the generation before us were the generation of marchers. So the degree to which we believe perhaps now that that there are different ways to change the world, and that they're finding those new ways, I think that that's very, very exciting. And one emphasis, by the way, I have to mention about 60/50 is there one part of 60/50 is really an emphasis on service, so that Service Learning Center and others have put together a whole notion of give me 110. So 60 plus 50 equals 110. So 110 hours over the entire year of service. So in that way, there will be a huge aspect, I think, of 60/50 that really is about student involvement and about actually kind of carrying on the work. One thing that occurs to me, Mark, is that, you know, we always run the danger when we talk about history that somehow civil rights was something that happened back then, mm-hmm. or in my case, labor rights was something that happened back then. Well, each day people recreate progress, recreate really the struggle for more voice, for greater equality. And we hope that 60/50 carries on, that it's not simply a one-year commemoration, mm-hmm. that in reality it changes for campus and for the community in the lives of the students, staff, and faculty and others. It changes the way that they look at the coming years as well as this year.
John Peck is an associate professor in the School of Human Resources and Labor Relations here at Michigan State University. John, thanks for telling us more about Project 60/50. I'm sure we'll be checking in throughout the year.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.